The title of our presentation is A Community Partnership, Binghamton University's Response to a Natural Disaster. We have no relationships to disclose. This shows the geographical location of Binghamton. Binghamton is located down here in the southern tier of New York next to Tioga County. And it's primarily a rural area. This slide shows the water resources in the southern tier. And actually, Binghamton, which is located here, is at the confluence of the Susquehanna and Shenango rivers, which makes it very prone to flooding. We also, Binghamton is also located at the intersection of routes 88, 81, and 17, so it's very much a transportation hub, so you can either go north or east or west or whatever. So that is where Binghamton is located. On Wednesday, September 7th, 2011, rain began to fall in Binghamton, New York, as Tropical Storm Lee moved through the area. The ground was already saturated from Tropical Storm Irene just 2 weeks before. The southern tier of New York was inundated by record-high floodwaters on Thursday and Friday. In total, 8.7 inches of rain fell in a 24-hour period on September 7th and 8th. This shows two different views of downtown Binghamton pre-flood, and as you can see, this is the confluence of the rivers right here. And that really does make it prone to flood, and that really is evident. This is a flood collage of some of the effects of the flood that happened last fall. And as you can see, it was very damaging, but we liked this picture, so we stuck in it. This is a comparison of Binghamton pre- and post-flood. This is pre-flood with a confluence, and as you see up there, that's post-flood, and this is the effect of the flood. At the highest point of the flood, the water rose 20 feet in 24 hours, and it was at the highest point 25 feet above flood stage.
39 square miles flooded throughout Broome County. The surrounding counties of Tioga, Shenango, and Delaware flooded as well. Rain pushed waterways to historic levels, as you saw in the last slide. The Shenango and Unadilla rivers, as well as the Oneida Creek, flooded, and at least 10 sewage treatment plants along the Susquehanna were inundated, including the one in the Binghamton area, and that resulted in sewage-laden, contaminated floodwaters. And so if you can just imagine living in an area of flood zone and having your home flooded with sewage contaminated waters, then you would be imagining the reality of many of our people. A number of electric substations were flooded, resulting in power being cut off, and natural gas and water service was also shut off. Rivers washed over the roadways and into neighborhoods, creating what has been called a 500-year flood. Houses were submerged up to their eaves, and you can see the eaves of the home in the upper right-hand corner picture. Cars were underwater. Residents were rescued from rising waters by boats or from rooftops by helicopter. Many roadways and bridges were impassable, and they were actually blocked off by the National Guard. In the aftermath, several roads were closed, including Interstate 88, which was blocked by a mudslide, and Route 17, and so as Fran mentioned to you, that left 81, but 81 didn't necessarily take you where you needed to go. Roads were either severely damaged, bridges were washed out, or they were under the water. Specific parts of the town of Union and Johnson City, as well as parts of downtown Binghamton and Southside Binghamton, were ordered to evacuate on Wednesday. A total of about 20,000 residents were ordered to evacuate on Thursday morning, as the Susquehanna set records by cresting higher than 25 feet that night and flowing over the city's retaining walls. Water levels were as high as 17 feet above flood stage when that happened, and many of the residents were ones who were in assisted living facilities and nursing homes, and they had to be evacuated. So you can just imagine all the planning that that took on short notice. Local officials have called this the worst flood since these city walls were built 70 years ago. This is a picture of downtown Binghamton post-flood, and it was effectively sealed off to outside traffic. Passable roads were closed off to all but emergency traffic, which would make sense to you. And of note, Binghamton University has a downtown center, so a beautiful building, only in operation for about 2 years before it was devastated by the flood. And it is located in this area, and so it also sustained significant damage. A lot of computer systems were in there, and so we suffered quite a loss as a result of that. The village of Owego was particularly hard hit, with 95% of the community underwater. And the flood had not only an effect on roads, but it had an effect on business. And so you can see Sam's Club. If you wanted to go swimming in front of Sam's Club, that's fantastic, but you probably weren't going to buy anything at Sam's Club during this time frame. And Gander Mountain, which has not reopened, and you can see some streets, the Family Dollar, all the big buys were probably ruined. More Broome County businesses that you can see. And so up here in the upper left-hand corner, you can see the Gowdy Electrical Station, and that has not reopened. And in the bottom right, you see the rooftop of the BAE building. And that also has not reopened. BAE has relocated. So a lot of businesses were affected. And interestingly, you see the trees reflected? Like this is Cayuga Lake or one of our Ithaca lakes. Well, no, that's a parking lot, but it's filled with that much water. In a flooded residential neighborhood in Apalachin, firefighters were unable to reach a burning house on Marshland Road, and right next door to that home, a 93-year-old woman had to be airlifted to a hospital by lowering a wire basket and putting her into a helicopter. And so floodwaters not only affected businesses, they affected people as well. There were 17 shelters that were set up in the immediate area. So I'm sure all of you want to return home and kayak your way to shopping places. Probably not really. And so now we're looking at a residential community, and look at all the rooftops that you see and all the devastation in this entire area. The New York City Fire Department sent nearly 100 firefighters and several boats to assist with the rescue. FEMA helped supply 100,000 liters of drinking water to the area, as well as meals, cots, and blankets. The area around an emergency shelter in Nichols was isolated by flooding, so the National Guard Black Hawk helicopters made 3 separate drops of food and blankets to the shelter on Thursday night. And so you can see some vehicles traveling, you can see some quasi-drowning vehicles, and then an area up the hill where the floodwaters didn't touch. And that was not necessarily uncommon for an event to happen. And residential homes used to be here. Are you happy yours wasn't one of them? See the stop sign? You can tell the level of the water when you look at the stop sign in the picture. And this is a picture of the impassable Broome County roadways. And right up here, see the green sign, the highway marker sign? That tells you the depth of the water on the roadway. Binghamton University is an evacuation center for the region, and it was used previously in the flood of 2006 as well. And in the picture, you can see the available facilities. So we have a beautiful events center, we have a West Gym, and then we have the basketball court, where the famous Bearcats play. At Binghamton University, the university's emergency response team, which includes officials from physical facilities, environmental health and safety, BU's New York State University Police, and the BU Counseling Center, among other administrative units, met at 2 p.m. on Wednesday to prepare and organize the school's response to the downpour and the possible flooding. So you see the basketball court. The physical facility staff laid tarp down on the event center's basketball court, and they helped to bring in extra folding tables and chairs. College officials, American Red Cross workers, campus dining services, and others set up 1,800 cots for evacuees in the Binghamton University Events Center. And that's a field house roughly the size of a football field. And they did this on Wednesday afternoon. The shelter opened at 6 that evening and was filled to capacity by Thursday afternoon. Tables were set up in a corner of the event center's upper concourse so that everyone sheltering in the building could register with the Red Cross. Once checked in, they were escorted downstairs to the event center's main floor, and you see that picture right now, where chairs and cots were set up. So imagine you have your home and now you are flooded and you check in, you're in the event center, and you literally are this far away from somebody sleeping in a cot and you have never met that person before. Food provided to the Red Cross by Sodexo Campus Services, like chips and fruits and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, coffee and water bottles, were available to the evacuees when they were checking in. So they obviously did not come with food. And in addition, they provided food for the evacuees, the staff, and the volunteers throughout the sheltering time frame of 2 weeks. People of all ages were among those who were seeking shelter, but most were elders. Many used walkers or wheelchairs. They required assistance with things like plugging in oxygen tanks, filling out forms, obtaining water, even using the bathroom or taking a shower. The initial backlog of people waiting to check in created many issues. The numbers of people overwhelmed the check-in, causing frustration for both the evacuees and the workers. Hundreds of Binghamton University staff and students volunteered and joined with the university to shelter, feed, and entertain the evacuees. University students worked 100 students to a shift, and they provided the evacuees with water, meals, and hygiene kits.
In addition, 150 special needs evacuees who were chronically ill as well as physically and emotionally compromised were cared for at Binghamton University's West Gym by volunteer healthcare personnel, including many Becker School of Nursing faculty and students. An additional special needs shelter was set up at Johnson City High School. As faculty and students, we were all amazed to see just how ill these individuals were and how they were actually surviving at home. We had people with trach, we had people on ventilators, the whole gamut, so all of these people were placed there. The biggest issue was that most evacuees did not bring their medications with them. The Harper Ferry student-run ALS ambulance service provided services and were available to take people to the hospital if need be. And we did send people to the hospital, and actually people were discharged back to the event center because they had no home to go to. Students from the university's call center worked 12-hour shifts, manning toll-free numbers established to provide the most up-to-date information to callers. Entertainment included performances by the Harper Jazz Ensemble and all of the university a cappella groups. A physics professor, Mark Stevens, performed a magic show. A physics student demonstrated wacky science experiments. Dozens of students came from across campus to entertain youngsters. The volleyball team helped load the Black Hawk helicopter to transport supplies to the Tioga County shelter, not once, but three times. A birthday celebration was held for a brand new teenager with a cake that was provided by Sodexo. Televisions were provided to inform and occupy the evacuees. The local hospitals provided medical supplies, medication, respiratory support, personnel, and linen to both special needs shelters. And we actually had volunteers from as far away as, Johnstown, all over the state. They came down to help us. On Thursday evening, President Obama approved Governor Cuomo's request to declare the flooded region a major disaster area. The shelter remained open for a total of 2 weeks. The wrestling team joined the Red Cross and the National Guard to close one emergency shelter in Johnson City and moved displaced individuals and families to the event center. Team members also loaded and unloaded donations to a local charity before heading out to neighborhoods to help several elderly families clean out from the damage. The volleyball team saw the practice court at the event center turn into a Red Cross staging area. So instead of serving volleyballs over the net, they served meals and supplies to the emergency visitors. Members of the women's basketball team helped with the event center, setting up beds, feeding evacuees, and escorting people to the first aid station as needed. Amy Laurel Heggie, who is the public affairs manager for the American American Red Cross Hurricane Irene response efforts in New York State stated they have disaster drills every month, and you can see it show up in the way that they were able to quickly organize and effectively handle situations that came up. In my experience, this was the best example of how to handle such a situation that I've seen in my career. The university and the Red Cross each took specific responsibilities throughout the 2 weeks that the event center was open. The Red Cross was responsible for shelter workers, volunteers, and the management of the shelter, whereas the university took care of the management of the building. The Red Cross also provided disaster help and mental services, client casework, and supplies to evacuees. The students completely stepped up to the plate and came to do everything from sweeping floors, serving food, and providing EMS and nursing services and offering entertainment. So they really, really did step up to the plate. The women's soccer team came and toward the end of the shelter and as a team took patients to help them shower. You could see the athletic teamwork show up in the group's recovery. The students were called an invaluable resource during the crisis, and they really, really were. It was an opportunity for the university community and students to lend a hand, and they rose to the challenge and showed the caring compassion they have for the local community. And this was said by David Hubney, who was the Binghamton University Emergency Services Manager. Students and faculty from the Decker School of Nursing worked in shifts to provide care for evacuees with special medical needs who were temporarily housed in the West Gym the first week after the flood. Scott Rosen, a junior in the Decker School of Nursing, who's now a senior, volunteered at the West Gym helping evacuees with basic needs like showering and eating. He said, "I did it to get back to the Binghamton community, and what I got out of it was an experience that I will never forget." And they really, overall, the students that worked with us, said how they appreciated working with faculty and seeing faculty in a different role. Other students without specialized training simply spent time with evacuees, listening to their stories or distributing water. And just taking the time to listen to them really meant a whole lot to these people. Across 8 counties in New York, it was estimated that the initial losses would be $562.2 million. However, the Triple City Urban Core lost over 7,300 properties, and damages in Broome County alone were $513 million, while in Tioga County, estimated losses were $479 million. So this was far and above what they had estimated. The university, after the flood, was also involved with fundraising and collecting goods to benefit those for the flood, that those affected by the flood. They developed a 2-credit service learning course for the students to respond to the flood. It was called Community in Recovery, Southern Tier, New York. It filled up immediately. The seminars were so well attended for the course that it was moved to one of the largest lecture halls on campus. The course provided Binghamton University undergraduates with the opportunity to volunteer in the local community. And we actually had, the School of Nursing actually had a lot of freshmen and sophomores that took that class that hadn't even done nursing yet. So they were out there helping the community before they got to their junior level. Binghamton University students also organized Rock the Flood, which was a 10-act event to benefit victims of the flood, as well as the Community Hunger Outreach Warehouse, which is called Chow in our community. So they charged $20 a person, and that was a very well-attended event, so it was very successful. The baseball team demolished damaged sheetrock, ripped up and removed flooring, removed wet insulation, and called out appliances for a family who lost almost everything. Student volunteers had several clothing drives. They were all over campus. The softball team worked side by side to clean out flooded buildings. Each weekend, dozens of students loaded onto buses outside the University Union to be taken to homes ravaged by the flood to help with cleanup. Even alumni helped. Michael Nagler, class of 87, superintendent of the Mineola School District on Long Island, drove up on Friday, September 23rd, with a truck full of school supplies, clothing, and furniture. The furniture came from a school building that was closed in his district, and everything else was donated to be given to Vincent Weehaw Suffering in the Valley School District. The president of the Minneola PTA also Vincent Native was instrumental in giving donations. Danielle O'Neill, another graduate of Vincent, posted on Vincent University's Alumni Association Facebook page and collected baby clothing, formula, toys, and anything infants and toddlers needed, as well as cleaning supplies, ready-made meals, and personal care items to donate to those in need.
So as you can see, the aftermath of the flood, the cleanup is still continuing in our area, and the BU's downtown center that was flooded has just reopened. It took a whole year for that to happen. However, some schools in both Tioga and Broome counties will not be able to reopen, and they're seeking funding to rebuild. As a result, some of our elementary and junior high school students ride a bus for over an hour to get to schools, and you can just imagine the stress on the families. And so it's sobering to think of Sandy. We are so happy for our area that we were not hit, but we are sobered to think of the areas that were very sad for them. Thank you.